1-800-237-2237.
Happening in Washington, so we're kicking it around with our pal Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. Big on the day, the Prez asking for a sequester delay, trying to pass a replacement for at least part of the $85 billion in cuts, that's some of it anyway. So what will happen in this massive hot potato that we have going on in Washington? It seems like forever. It's been well over a year. We've even been discussing this. We know how the committee, the bipartisan committee, flopped. So here we are once again on the doorstep of will the government close down at the end of March? Jeff Holtzman in the wings. Jeff, I tell you, you know, like I said, this is something that we keep seeing over and over again. It's like a bad rerun of Barney. It's in your head. It's the blue dinosaur. And you can, that blue dinosaur could be anyone on any given day. So, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, what's going to happen here?
Well, I don't know, Kate. I'm looking into my crystal ball, and it's kind of cloudy right now, to be honest with you. You know, obviously, the president said today that he wants to turn off the sequester and replace it with a, quote-unquote, balanced approach, meaning a mix of spending cuts and new revenues. He didn't necessarily say tax rate increases. He got those in January, but, you know, he wants to do things like close loopholes and deductions, and he wants to, end tax breaks to special interest groups and all sorts of things like that. He pointed at the oil subsidy that big oil companies get, and he said that they get, $4 billion a year because of that. He said they shouldn't get that. So that's what he has in mind, but it's going to be a tough sell on Capitol Hill, particularly with Republicans, who, they have been wanting spending cuts for quite some time. And they're not satisfied with the spending cuts they've been able to get to date. They look at the sequester as an opportunity to really slice some money out of the federal budget. Now, the only hesitation that Republicans have with regard to the sequester, I should say, is the defense cuts. They think that the defense cuts are really going to hollow out the military, not just in terms of a resources standpoint, limiting the amount of troops you can have and the amount of equipment, but also cutting into troops benefits and veterans benefits as well. And they don't want to see that happen, Republicans generally being the party of defense hawks. So for them to say that they totally embrace the sequester is not really true. There are parts of it they don't like, but for the most part, they like the idea of cutting spending. The president, however, thinks that, $1 trillion over the next 10 years is too much to cut. He thinks that that would slow recovery. And as we saw, last week when the new GDP report came out, the economy isn't doing that hot. I mean, it grew for a while, albeit not at a rapid pace, and now it's actually contracting slightly. And a lot of the experts and forecasters say that, it could contract even more next year if you cut all that spending.
Yeah. So we move from that to see the big ultimately showdown, what's going to happen, can't cut your way to prosperity, come on, we can cut, blah, blah, blah. What's the plan to replace the cuts or, the various scenarios that could unfold there? So if we put that on a shelf like everybody else in Washington is doing, I think the hot thing on the day is the White House going toe-to-toe really with Congress and then reporters over the Department of Justice rules for drone strikes. This was salacious, saucy, crazy stuff. I listened to some of the reporters today, and it's because of Americans who became, let's say, jihadists, and the what ultimately that means when they were killed, like Awalaki with a drone strike, is there's a lawsuit that's being filed. So the White House is saying, we're consistent. Isn't that what they're saying? With the Constitution?
Well, yeah, the White House is saying that this is no secret, that they've been saying for, at least a year now on the record that they consider it legal to target American citizens who have sort of joined up with the enemy. Now, specifically, they're talking about Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups. And they look at a guy like Anwar al-Awlaki, who died in a drone strike back in 2011, as somebody who fits that example, somebody who was an American citizen technically, but was basically a commander in Al-Qaeda. He was, plotting all sorts of terrorist attacks. In fact, he was being on the plot to bomb the airliner over Detroit, the underwear bomber, that whole situation. So the White House is saying that just because you're an American citizen doesn't preclude you from protections or doesn't give you protections, I should say, in terms of, you know, the United States using force against you. But, of course, a lot of folks who are opposed to, you know, drone warfare and things like that are saying that this is a huge violation, that this is sort of unprecedented, and that, you know, the White House is essentially unilaterally making the decision that it's okay to kill American citizens overseas without due process. So a lot of folks are upset about this.
Yeah, yeah, including the former congressman, really, from Texas, Ron Paul, who's talking about the saying that exact thing, saying there's no due process here. That's ridiculous. So this is maybe Liberty, Constitution, and everything else mixed in between. And we know it was on the cover. Drones were on the cover of Time magazine. The drone issue is very hot right now. And that's also because of drones and where they're also going to patrol over the United States. Is it just along the border and all that other stuff, right?
Well, I mean, Republicans actually want drones to be part of the immigration solution.
Yeah.
You know, the Republicans that helped co-craft this Senate immigration proposal, which isn't actually legislation yet, but it will be very soon, they want to use unmanned aircraft, drones, in other words, to patrol the southern border to help keep out, you know, dangerous criminals from crossing the border and other, you know, undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them. So, I mean, they're becoming more and more sort of mainstream in terms of the lexicon in Washington. But, you know, in this particular case, politically, it's interesting because you have Republicans sort of forced to oppose the president over something that, you know, if this was a Republican president that had done this, if George W. Bush had used drones to take out an American citizen, I think Republicans probably wouldn't say anything about it. But I think that the fact that it's the Obama administration doing this, you know, they're more tempted to call the president out. But again, this is something ideologically that they would probably support, you know, going after terrorists around the globe, regardless of their citizenship.
Yeah. The one last one, the gun debate rages on. It looks like the House is trying to cross party lines, so to speak, because we keep hearing maybe bipartisan or not in this whole debate over guns. And what they're talking about here is, or what I heard out of Washington today, is trying to back a measure that would create stiffer penalties for people who have straw purchased guns. It's not a shock to me that they'd get bipartisan cooperation. Is that surprising to you?
No, I mean, it isn't. And I think that this is something that you could ultimately see being agreed upon by both parties, you know, going after people who purchase guns, you know, sort of on the black market or, you know, without going through proper background checks and that sort of thing. In fact, you know, a number of gun owners groups, including the NRA, have come out over the years and said that they don't agree that people should have to, should not have to go through background checks or buy weapons because, of course, you run the risk of dangerous people, you know, getting their hands on weapons, and that's never a good thing. So there's sort of universal support for that. There's legislation being introduced in the House that would address this. Specifically, it would go after gun traffickers and make that a federal offense, which is kind of surprising to think that's not a federal offense at this point in this day and age, but it isn't. And so we'll see if the legislation takes off. It could be folded into a broader package of gun reforms that President Obama is pushing. He was in Minnesota yesterday talking about it. He'll be back out on the road next week talking about it some more.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Holtzman, as always, thanks for coming on America Tonight. You have a good one.
All right, thanks, Kate.
Thanks, bye-bye. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
We've been talking about here on the show, don't drone me out is never more true when it comes to what's happening stateside. But also now with this lawsuit, it's gotten interesting. As far as drones are concerned, and I know there's a lot of people that wouldn't disagree with me, when it comes to warfare, sorry, all bets are off. I think the drone is a fair tool. I think that's the way we roll now, and drones are okay. You're going to have collateral damage. Nobody wants that, but it's happened. It's happened in Afghanistan, and it's happened in Iraq as well. In Afghanistan, every single time it happened, it was like three or four. It's probably three times that were the worst, and Hamid Karzai would get upset and stomp his feet, and he was sick of this and demanded investigations and how could that happen, and basically shoving the United States into a corner. But boy, he wants our money and our help. No, 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 no. It blows over. Please stay. 2014, you got to leave more troops. We're not ready yet. So the drone, to me, fair game when it comes to war. The drone stateside, look out. I do not want drones overhead. Charlottesville, Virginia became the first city, not surprisingly, because they've been talking about this, the first city to say no to the drone. They have a 2-year moratorium on drones. The dinghy vice mayor said, well, drones can be positive. Because the vice mayor wanted the drones. Drones can be positive. I don't know. How is a drone positive? I'm sorry. I don't want to be going to the grocery store, look up above, and have the drone flying somewhere off in the distance. I think that's a waste of millions of dollars. Yes, I know there are drug dealers and other people that the drone could scope out. But how about some good old-fashioned detective work? How about the DEA doing its job? How about some of the things that have worked in the past that can still work? They have really cool equipment, too, that they can use, and it doesn't have to involve millions of dollars in drones. These things aren't cheap to fly, and I don't see any place for it. But the American drone death, which Jeff Holtzman and I were talking about, had nothing to do with patrolling in our neighborhoods. We're talking about terrorists who were taken out by military drone strikes. Three guys, all killed in 2011. They were U.S. citizens. So, yes, legally, you can see that this could be a complex deal. Anwar Awalaki, Samir Khan, should have been killed. You want to talk about somebody that would slit our throats in a second? Awalaki was poisonous. He was a snake. He fed every single American who was disenfranchised, who somehow he could try to manipulate, poison. Not to mention the people he was around in the Middle East, in Yemen, let's say. And Khan and Awalaki were killed in a missile strike in Yemen. Remember, this happened, you know, over 2 years ago. And Awalaki's son was killed weeks after that. So the son was a 16-year-old kid who was with his father. You think he was pumped full of any of this stuff that was going on? So if you're Anwar Awalaki, are you using your son as a shield? I mean, why? You're in Yemen. You know about drones. You're trying to pick off Americans. You're trying to kill any Westerners you can. So you have your 16-year-old son by you, near you. What do you think is the possibility that something could happen to that kid when you are a major target? So this is really the thrust of what people are talking about as far as the lawsuit's concerned, because the grandfather of the 16-year-old boy, Abdullah Rahman, that's his name, is pushing this. He's saying, look, he tried to protect his grandson when Awalaki's profile was growing, growing, and growing. And he couldn't. And why couldn't he? Because he was in the wrong place. You know, look, the kid was from Denver, but he wasn't droned and killed, murdered in Denver. He was in Yemen. So now the way the story goes is they're trying to say that the grandson, Abdullah Rahman, follow the names, Awalaki's son, snuck out of the house in Yemen one night, left a note for mama saying he would be back in a few days. He never returned because he was killed while he was eating at an outdoor restaurant. I'll say it again. Why would you have him by you knowing your situation? The guy was a target. And should he have been a target, whether he was from the United States or not? I'm going to say yeah. And here's what's happening. People are talking about, well, that they're Americans. They did not have due process. Really? Do we know now, as we were talking about, if you really look back at what, when we're talking about drones, when we're talking about Americans and drones when they're legal, you're talking about an enemy of the state? That was him. He was, Awalaki was an enemy of the state. Al-Qaeda. What do you expect? He was an Al-Qaeda jihadist of the worst kind. He was a snake. Now, lots of people that I normally agree with on a slew of things when it comes to civil liberties, when it comes to freedoms and everything else, like Ron Paul. You know, remember during his presidential campaign, he criticized the killing of Anwar Awalaki, saying that he was born here, he's an American citizen, he wasn't tried, he wasn't charged for any crimes. Do we really know if he killed anyone? So I'm going to say, and he said, look, if American people blindly and casually accept this, I'm going to accept this based on information that I know from the Pentagon and information that you know that's probably out there, not all of it secret. What was Awalaki doing? He was a hate monger. He wanted to kill us all. If he could drop a bomb on Texas, Nevada, blow up Times Square. He was the guy behind the crazy underwear bomber, Abdullah Muttalib, who wanted to blow up the plane and almost did if he didn't bungle it. If he had been able to hit the switch, that plane would have blown up, poof, on Christmas Day. So I say blindly, I'm sorry. I think that the killing of al-Awlaki was justified. Justified. And Khan? Khan was the thug of the worst kind, too. All you have to do is Google this guy, come up with information. You could say, well, that's mainstream media, or that person's writing this story. Well, dig a little deeper. You can find conspiracy people. You can dig up blogs, and you'll find tons of stuff on Khan. I mean, are you kidding? This guy, same thing. If he exponentially could have expanded his network and blown us all to bits, the guy would have done it. He was trying to do it. He was working on it. So this is the deal. This is the deal. There is no gray area here. I don't think there's a gray area here. And when we're talking about terrorism, honestly, you know the old saying, to put it tritely, all's fair in love and war, and this is war. Now, when you're talking about drones, in my neighborhood, in your neighborhood, and you look at the map, they have that agency, North Command, in Colorado Springs, and they have a giant map that has where the drones are. That could be scary. Because to somebody running it, it's like a video game, and I don't want that video game in my neighborhood. But when we're talking about taking out al-Qaeda, what do you think? We're going to walk up and knock on their door in Yemen? Oh, please don't shoot me. We want to kill you. We just want to take that one guy out there in the corner. Can we do it? Uh-uh. It's not how it works. We're not dropping a nuclear bomb. We're trying, like a surgeon, to extract. We're trying to extract the bad guys. And I think it worked. So, respectfully, because there's a lot of things that Ron Paul, especially as a longtime congressman in Texas, has said and stood up for that I completely agree with. But when he was saying that on the campaign trail, I disagree. I disagree. And I disagree with this lawsuit. I don't think so. I mean, listen, how do you think you're going to take out these terrorists? What happens if something happens in the United States? Then everybody says, well, we fell asleep on the watch. How do you think you're going to take these guys out? Keep this number handy. We're going to talk about it coming up a little bit later in the show. Next, here's the number, 855-266-5283. But next, we have Stephen Shohat. We're talking about a hero of a different kind, the Lone Ranger, back again to ride. Who is the Lone Ranger? You might already know, but maybe you don't. We're talking about it next.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Food storage? Check. Survival tools? Check. weapons and water filters.
Check.
But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed, but if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free, all for only $249. Visit afterburnerstoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. Afterburnerstoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
Fall in love with food storage savings this February at BePrepared.com. Going on now, BePrepared.com saves you over $300 with a premium 1,600 one-year supply, including 126 cans of freeze-dried and dehydrated food. Or get the new gourmet 14-day food supply with a full 2,000 calories per day with pre-planned menu. Stroganoff and noodles are 20% off with purchase of 6 or more. Mountain House pork chops are back in stock at 34% off. Pack your own low-moisture foods with our new do-it-yourself Super Pail combo on sale at 22% off. Add to your preparedness with minor surgery kits at 15% off. And wool blended blankets are only $11.89. The February Fall in Love with Savings Sale ends February 28th at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, visit BePrepared.com or call 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extendovite.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
If we ride together, we ride for justice.
Justice is what I seek, Kimo Sabe.
A clip from the upcoming Lone Ranger. Who do you think is playing the Lone Ranger? That's some pretty big shoes to fill. In the wings, he joins us every week here on America Tonight. Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. And the Lone Ranger is a part of a lot of people's childhoods. And on TV Land, it's now had a revival. A lot of people know plenty about the Lone Ranger because they love the whole thing with Tonto and some of the escapades and whatnot. Now it's coming to the big screen. So, Stephen, hello to you. And who? Tell everybody who the Lone Ranger is. Who's playing the Lone Ranger?
It's going to be Arnie Hammer from, I think, best known from the movie The Social Network. The Winklevoss twins. And, yeah, you're right. The character goes back quite a ways, 1933, and was immensely popular when he was first on the radio. And all sorts of theories as to why. I mean, you know, at the time people said that the 30s, so many people are out of work and suffering and losing their property that they felt the government couldn't protect them. So this man outside the law, this former Texas Ranger whose compatriots had been gunned down, and yet he survived and decided to wear a mask to bring the villains who harmed him and other villains to justice, was what was needed at the time. Now, the other theory is it was just really entertaining, so that's why people liked it.
Yeah, the Armie Hammer, how did he get, was there other people being considered for it? Because I heard a lot of different names.
Yeah, I think there were. I got to be honest. I don't know why he was chosen. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to get that for you next time around. I don't know that one.
You know, I was thinking of this. Remember, he was in the Snow White movie, and if you kind of think about how he played that role, maybe I could see the transition from the prince to the Lone Ranger. I don't know, but. Do you think it's going to go over well? Because there's a lot of generations, as much as we've seen it, like I said, there's still sort of the life of the Lone Ranger out there with TV Land and definitely with baby boomers. And even, I think, a generation past the baby boomers would be familiar with the Lone Ranger. But then somebody newer, the kids, will they buy into the whole Lone Ranger thing?
Boy, that's a really good question. I mean, obviously they got a big star in the movie with Johnny Depp, and he has such a great worldwide following. Westerns don't usually do particularly particularly well in overseas markets. I don't know. I kind of think maybe not, but I hate to predict that when people are working so hard. One thing is this movie is so expensive. It was budgeted at $250 million, and Disney balked and decided to shut down production. Then they re-greenlit the movie when it got down to $215 million, and then when they went to New Mexico and started filming it again, it went back up to about $250 million. So, they're kind of unhappy, and the head of the studio, the movie studio, Rich Ross, he quit during the making of this movie. So now they have the former guy from Warner Brothers in charge, Alan Horn, but he stepped into it in a time when it's too late to do anything. And you just wonder if one of the things that happened was when they were making the movie or proposing it, Cowboys and Aliens did so badly, and I think that's scare Disney as well. And you wonder, how can you have such a big budget for a Western? And one reason is they decided, Gore Verbinski, the director, decided to build the trains from scratch. The other reason is that I think they're going to have some supernatural digital coyotes in it, and there's going to be things about mysticism and werewolves things you wouldn't expect from the normal Western. So it's not going to be it's not going to be like an old episode of The Lone Ranger and that kind of budget, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's kids are about special effects and that kind of thing. You know, Sherlock Holmes, the two Sherlock Holmes had a lot of that in it. A lot of crazy, fast moving, different kinds of camera work. Maybe that's, you know, how it's shot might have something to do with its success too.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that was great about the old Lone Ranger, and it wasn't my all-time favorite show, but I think having the classical music all the time, not just at the beginning with the William Tell Overture, but also during fight sequences, they would always have this classical music, and I think that sort of raised the stakes. Now here, I don't think they'll do that. They're going to go with a more contemporary type of music. I'm sure sooner or later you'll hear the William Tell Overture, but overall, they're not doing what the original show did with the scoring, and so I mean they're really changing the story. I mean Johnny Depp is on record as saying that when he was a kid he didn't understand why the Lone Ranger pushed Tonto around, and he wants to have a more less of a sidekick relationship. Now on that show, one of the things that happened is that Jay Silverhills was known for never knowing his lines, and so he would make up things in sort of the pidgin English as he would go along, and it would drive the directors crazy. But Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger, always stood up for him. They were great friends off set, and he always would tell the director, "Oh, it's even better the way Jay does it." So that was one of the reasons why the lines came out like they did on that show. But My memory is that Tonto was always treated with dignity, and I didn't think he was that disrespected, but there are some Native Americans who definitely feel differently on that score.
Yeah. It's interesting because we go from, they buy into the Westerns and Westerns don't do as well and that kind of stuff, to the 20th anniversary of Unforgiven, which was blockbuster. I mean, everybody loved Unforgiven. And it got the Oscar for Best Picture. So what was different? It's 20 years ago. So is it partly that and partly the people that were in it?
Well, one of the things was that Clint Eastwood got that script about 15 years before, and his reader had told him the William Money murders, it was not a good script, and so he delayed reading it, and then he read it and was captivated by it, and he held on to it for years so he could age into the role. The role of William Money, and he got other people to be in it. I mean, Gene Hackman, always kind of reluctant to be in violent movies. He talked him into it. Richard Harris was actually watching High Plains Drifter when he got a phone call from Clint Eastwood to be in the film. And the difference, I think a lot had to do with the difference between that Clint Eastwood movie and other Clint Eastwood movies where, he would ride into town and be this mysterious stranger who almost seemed invulnerable. And here, on the other hand, he's having problems. He's falling off his horse. He's raising a family, and he doesn't really want to get involved with this thing. And then this bounty opportunity comes up, and he transforms during the movie to this very, very vicious man who's going to wipe out his enemies and rather than maybe being a dead shot like the mysterious stranger he played in earlier movies, the idea behind this character is you just keep firing those bullets in there until your enemies are done for. And so I think it had sort of an epic feeling like it was kind of, and Clint Eastwood said it at the time, that it's kind of, the end of Westerns, that it's busting down the whole Western mythology, and therefore it came off very, very powerful. And since that time, I mean, I haven't seen a Western that I liked as much. Obviously Westerns are going to continue to be made. True Grit, a couple years ago, I thought was a great movie, but the remake of True Grit.
Yes.
But there was sort of this. Ending feeling when you saw Unforgiven, and I think that affected a lot of people at the time, and it certainly seemed to affect the Academy voters.
Yeah, just a couple minutes left, but you're onto something there. Remember, Wild West, and it's sort of trying to meld the old with the new, like you said, cowboys and aliens. So there is, I think for movie makers, there's kind of a lure of the cowboy a little bit, but how do you fit them in and make it work?
Well, that's one thing. One of the reasons why I think you see less Westerns is because it prevents people from doing things with digital technology unless you have a stretch. I mean, I have a feeling this Lone Ranger movie is going to be a technological stretch. And you certainly had that with Cowboys and Aliens. I kind of like Cowboys and Aliens. I know people didn't like it, but I mean, I think that's one reason why you see them less. And another reason is that maybe they're thinking they're too Americanized. They want to get the worldwide market now. And another reason is the values of the Old West. I mean, the Lone Ranger as a character had a lot of values. But he was a patriot. I mean, he revealed his identity to President Grant. He believed in God. I mean, he would defend private property rights. And that might not be as appealing to the filmmakers today in Hollywood with maybe different politics or different worldviews. So I think there are a couple of reasons, but I think that the desire to use technology and the thinking that the fans want technology sort of is a point against Westerns, but you never know. I mean, if the Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp works and he is taking some criticism for the way he looks, having that paint on his face, if it works, then maybe it'll lead to more.
Yeah. Stephen Shohat, check him out, HollywoodStories.com. Pick up the book. It's a great read. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kate.
All right, Westerns. I still like Westerns, but you know what? You got to go back in the vault. Boy, isn't that true.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Valentine's Day is next week, and ProFlowers is offering an amazing deal. 100 stunning blooms of love plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code, RADIO13. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket during Valentine's Week. Order now from ProFlowers to get huge savings, plus pick any delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms of love sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week. And this incredible deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code, RADIO13. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code, RADIO13.
Dropping a bomb on an American citizen without any judicial review, any trial, not raise the very human rights questions or more human rights questions than something like waterboarding.
The president understands the gravity of these issues. That is why he is committed to taking very seriously his responsibilities in this.
That's what the talk was at the White House on Tuesday as we bump around on the final turn here of This Hour of America Tonight. Congressman Steny Hoyer said, you know, look, it deserves a serious look at how we make the decisions in government to take out, kill, eliminate, whatever word you want to use, not just American citizens, but other citizens as well. We have to review our policies as a country. Really? So the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is going to hold a bunch of hearings, of course, hearings, on U.S. drone policy. I think it's good to get it out there because there's maybe some confusion for some people. Who is the chair? Robert Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, the senator from New Jersey, under fire, by the way, for this whole prostitution crazy thing that broke, which he says is a bunch of nonsense and idiot bloggers and whatever. But that aside, the top Republican, Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee, he says the same thing. He's looking at what's happening, what's going on with deadly operations and a group of 11 Democrats and Republicans pushed the president, and this is why that was part of that conversation, to release a classified Justice Department legal opinion. So we're digging into the archives at the DOJ, justifying when U.S. counterterror missions that use drone strikes or include them, whatever, can be used to kill American citizens abroad. And I think that what happens here is we're getting into the murky waters of, well, what happens when you are trying to kill American citizens, you renounce your citizenship pretty much, you go to the Middle East, you hang out in Yemen, you're targeting people through an underwear bomber, people that you're trying to get to join the Al-Qaeda party. And I think the problem to me is, you know, the decision is, do you kill Al-Qaeda terror suspects? Do you have to have a full-on criminal proceeding? Because, geez, that's not right. What is the evidence that has mounted up? I mean, that's the thing. Is the evidence flawed or is the evidence there? Three American citizens, we're talking about Anwar al-Awlaki, Samir Khan, and the 16-year-old son of al-Awlaki was in the mix of that. And remember, there is no question al-Awlaki especially was linked to a bunch of things, but the planning, the execution of the attack, the plane, the Detroit plane, 2009, he was going to blow that plane up. Blow it up. And blow up a whole bunch of Americans. So I know I'm going against the grain here, but I don't care. I don't think drones should be used full-on authority in our neighborhoods. I agree. But when we're talking about the evidence is clearly there. Clearly there. This is the threat. You know, it's like what's happening with the rules of engagement. I wouldn't want to be a soldier. Now, I am so proud of the people who have served and the sacrifices they've made. It's unbelievable. Deployment after deployment after deployment. But yet, their hands are so tied with the rules of engagement. Let's be serious. So now we have these drones. You know, the CIA, the military, they're authorized, right, to remotely pilot these missile-carrying drones against terror suspects. How many strikes have been carried out? What about Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, all those places? And the nations where we've hit, of course, they're not thrilled about them. And the reason is because sometimes there is collateral damage, and they don't like the collateral damage. The Pentagon is pushing forward with surveillance drones to monitor some of the extreme violence in North Africa. Will they be armed? Won't they be armed? Who knows? So what if we say, you know what? We have these hearings, and you heard the reporter talking or trying to nail Jay Carney there for an answer, and what Jay Carney says is, you know, the president acts in the United States' interest to protect the United States and its citizens from Al-Qaeda. And that it's a matter of fact that Congress authorized the use of military force against Al-Qaeda. It's a matter of fact that Al-Qaeda is in a state of war against us, and that senior leaders, operational leaders of Al-Qaeda, are continually plotting to attack the United States, plotting to blow us up, as they did on September 11th in 2001, when all hell rained down on us, 3,000 people died. And then afterwards, the conversation was, well, how come we didn't know that? Look, something's not right here. How could we not know that? How could we not know that people were taking flying lessons and they were only learning how to fly, not even how to land? So it was blame, 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 blame. Then when we're aggressive here, now we're getting nailed for being aggressive. So there's no question that the drones have definitely strained relationships between other nations where the strikes happen and the United States. And we know that people have been killed right alongside with some targeted terrorists, although not as much as you would think. And the Yemen area, which is rich, a hornet's nest for training, for wanting to kill Americans, they've had lots of drone strikes. And there have been people that have been killed. So then the question becomes, well, you know, what do we do? Do we scale back on the drones? People just, ooh, court of public opinion. No, we can't do this. Do we scale back on them? Does that hamper what's happening in Afghanistan? What happens at the withdrawal point in 2014? I mean, look, these drones are a huge part of the campaign afterwards. We have limited troops that are going to be there to keep the Taliban from regrouping, which I'm going to be cynical and say they have a really good shot at it. Really good shot. So lethal drone strikes, what's the right thing to do here? What's the right thing to do? Senator Ron Wyden, who's a senior Democratic member of the Senate Intelligence Panel, said he was unsatisfied with the justice memo. He is going to press big time at the confirmation hearings about the current policy of the drones. I'm going to say, once again, my position's clear. You're talking about global terror networks. The use of drone strikes have been effective. Effective. So the way our current laws are, there's a fear that that would allow the military to use force in the wrong way, do we have to limit the scope against the thousands of extremists across the deserts of the Middle East and North Africa who some people say, listen, they don't have a big ability to come after us, except for when they're on a plane, they've got their underwear rigged up, and they almost set it off. How about assimilating the student visas coming over? Al-Waliki, key in that. Key in poisoning the minds of plenty of people who right now may be listening to this show, might be monitoring this show along with others, and they're waiting for their chance for an attack. I'm not paranoid, and I'm not riddled with conspiracy theories, but I think that the drones in so many key moments have been effective. We can second guess ourselves all day long, but who was it that said war is hell? So we had to decide. I mean, is it kumbaya, hands off, hand-to-hand combat? Are we going to roll back the tide to hand-to-hand combat? You know, I don't like it any better than anyone else. Wouldn't it be great if we did have that utopian world where people who hate us because of the propaganda just get fed more and more propaganda when, come on, you do what you're doing, we're doing what we're doing here. Can't we coexist? Why can't we coexist? But again, that's the utopian world that we don't live in. Do we want no protections? I think the drones are effective. I do. You might disagree. Look, you can shoot me an email. Vent. Tell me why. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact. Bada bing, you're in, and let it flow.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, man. Talk radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP
is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.